the processional hymn, Once in Royal David's City. Verse 1 will be sung as a solo, verse 2 by the choir, with everyone joining in the remaining verses.
Once in royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed.
Welcome everybody to the Church of the Ascension for this traditional service of 9 lessons and carols. Particular welcome to all of our visitors, those who are here supporting the choir of Anna Hill Primary School, parents, grandparents, siblings and colleagues, visitors from other neighbouring churches, including our sister parish of Mara Hamlet, who are part of this augmented choir as well. And last but by no means least, it is my greatest pleasure to welcome amongst us our Deputy First Minister, Emma Little Pengele, who has been a frequent visitor at different events we have had in recent years, but I think I'm correct that this is the first time she's here by invitation, and encouraging that the first time She's been officially invited. She accepted. So that's good. Thank you indeed for coming amongst us.
Beloved in Christ, be it this Christmastide our care and delight to prepare ourselves to hear again the message of the angels, in heart and mind to go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, and with the shepherds and the wise men adore the child lying in his mother's arms. Let us read and mark in Holy Scripture the tale of the loving purposes of God from the first days of our disobedience unto the glorious redemption brought us by this holy child, and let us make this church glad with our carols of praise. But first, let us pray for the needs of the whole world, for peace on earth and goodwill over all the earth, for unity and fellowship within the church he came to build, within the dominions of our sovereign King Charles, and within this city of Lisburn. And because it would rejoice his heart, let us remember at this time the poor and the helpless, the cold, the hungry and the oppressed, the sick in body and in mind, and them that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, all who know not the Lord Jesus. Lastly, let us remember before God all those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore and in a greater light, that multitude which no one can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom in the Lord Jesus we forevermore are one. These prayers and praises let us humbly offer up to the throne of heaven in the words which Christ himself hath taught us.
Our Father,
Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Born of a stable.
God announces in the Garden of Eden that the seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." Thanks be to God.
Ding dong merrily on high, in heaven the bells are ringing. Ding dong, verily the sky is ridden with angels singing.
Promises to faithful Abraham that in his seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. Thanks be to God. Christ's birth and kingdom are foretold by the prophet Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thanks be to God.
Is born a son. prophet Micah foretells the story, the glory of little Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are of old from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, to the majesty of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth. Thanks be to God.
The angel Gabriel salutes the Blessed Virgin Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Thanks be to God.
Of the sun and the running of St. Matthew tells of the birth of Jesus. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Thanks be to God.
The shepherds go to the manger. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. Thanks be to God.
Oh. The wise men are led by the star to Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all of the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. Thanks be to God.
St. John unfolds the great mystery of the Incarnation. Hear the Gospel of our Savior Christ according to St. John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Gospel of the Lord. The collection at this service is on behalf of the Dean of Belfast's Christmas Sit Out for Charities, affectionately known as the Black Santa Appeal. The collection hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Oh, Almighty God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your only Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that as we joyfully receive him for our Redeemer, we may with sure confidence behold him when he shall come to be our judge, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Christ, who by his incarnation gathered into one all things earthly and heavenly, fill you with his joy and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Well, as our service this afternoon draws to a close, it is my very pleasant duty, as well as my very great pleasure, to express some words of appreciation to a number of people. First of all, music is such a fundamental part to an event like this. And we are so grateful, first of all, to our augmented church choirs who have given of their very best, having practiced faithfully with our organist, Tim, who has played so magnificently for us this afternoon, giving us not just very appropriate and meaningful special pieces which endorse the biblical readings so well. So thank you, all the members of the church choir, And in particular, I think in this instance, I must refer specifically to Tim's wife, Haley, for that magnificent rendition of O Holy Night. Thank you, Haley. There is a long tradition, and I have been part of this tradition now since Christmas 1994, of the choir of Anna Hill Primary School coming and participating in this service. It could be that in my early days here, the children sitting there were amongst your mums and dads. That is the way time passes. But that tradition goes back long before my time. I'm not sure when it started, but it certainly was going by the time I came here, and there was no question of me as the new rector, as I was then, not wanting to continue it. But following hard on my heels in terms of the number of Christmases here, Mrs. Hilary Purdy, you're not very far behind me. You're not. I do remember very well, and I was telling this story somewhere else recently, when Mrs. Purdy, when she was interviewed for the position she'd applied for at Anna Hill Primary School, during the interview, came up, of course, about the fact that she played the organ. And I vividly remember her chirping in, "And I play the pedals." I made note of that. And she's played the pedals here many, many times since. But Hilary, you've always struck me as someone committed wholeheartedly to the school choir and the members giving of their very best. And in the pieces they sang and in the pieces they joined with the church choirs today, ladies and gentlemen, didn't they do just that? In terms of the service, thanks also to the various readers who came across so well, and also for me, another important element of a service like this is the order of service, once again beautifully produced and printed by Colin Hazard. I must also include in my thanks the efforts of those who in recent days have decorated this church so magnificently. It always looks well, but there's always even a subtle difference each year. Traditionally, our Christmas tree comes from Larchfield, and that has been the case this year. I'll not be too specific. Suffice it to say that it actually was two men decorated the tree this year. I think they've done a great job, because they'd be first to tell you in their own houses it's the ladies and the children decorate the tree. So I think they enjoy getting the chance to do it, to be honest. But there we are, and others involved in the windows. Now, I want to pay tribute in particular, and there are some gentlemen who need to go into my vestry and help me. If you do that now, please. if you haven't done it already. Decorating a church like this, not just for Christmas, but at harvest time, at Easter, and indeed on occasions at other times, doesn't just happen. Yes, individuals decorating do sometimes take the initiative, and all credit for doing that, but it does take a measure of coordination. And for quite some years now, Barbara Oliver, Barbara Oliver has been doing that, season by season, Sunday, season by season, throughout the year for a long number of years. She told me some time ago, mainly for reasons of health, she felt she had to let that go. And so she told me she would be retiring, and she would be handing in her key to our secretary to the vestry, who lives next door to her. Well, I heard that she hadn't handed in her key, so we kept it going another while, and she very graciously agreed to that. But then, in all honesty, she must have meant business this time, because I'd found out she did hand the key back. So I said, well then, it is time to recognize all Barbara's efforts over the years. She herself would tell you she's something of a traditionalist when it comes to flower arranging, but she has more than proved open-minded to new ideas and new expressions of arranging flowers. So, Barbara, a big thank you from not just me, but from all of us. David Brown, on behalf of my church warden, who couldn't be here, is presenting you with this presentation. For several years now, the mayor has come to this service, but although she was asked quite some months ago and had accepted there was an administrative error in her office, so she found that she just couldn't make as much and all as she had wanted to, and wants to extend her apologies for that. And she has indicated, if there is an appropriate occasion during what remains of her term in office, which is until next summer, she'd be very willing to consider it, if at all possible. So I'll keep that in mind. But our Deputy First Minister, who, as I said, has been coming along to different occasions in our hall, and she was at the Christmas fair, as she has been on a number of occasions, and I said, will I go for this year? So I did ask her. I said, do you know what you're doing on the 14th of December in the afternoon? She said, I think I'm free, actually. I said, would you consider coming to our carol service? I'd be delighted to, she said. So, would you please, first of all, give a big welcome to our Deputy First Minister, and as a tangible expression of that, I'm asking the People's Church Warden to present her with some flowers. And just at this juncture, the Deputy First Minister is going to say a few words on behalf of the Executive and the assembly at this Christmas time. Please. You want to go? Maybe it's there's a microphone there.
Thank you so much for the beautiful flowers. They really are beautiful and very unexpected. But thank you to the Reverend and the congregation here for the very kind invitation to join with you for this beautiful service of Nine Lessons and Carols. I always love the Nine Lessons and Carols with all of its traditions, but also at the very heart of it, the joy and the Christmas message. Can I firstly add to the words to say how fantastic the choir and the music, and especially the pupils of Annahill Primary School. You were utterly brilliant, and I have no doubt that your mummies and daddies and your grannies and grandas in the congregation are very, very proud of you. It is a real honour to stand here and to send greetings on behalf of the government and from the political world. I know as we are gathered in this church this afternoon, there are representatives from the civic and the faith and the school communities, but also so many families and people from across. And it's such an honour to join with you representing that political aspect of it. Christmas is such a wonderful time of the year. It is all about that joy and the rightful celebration of the birth of Christ. And it's always so important, I believe, no matter what sector that we are from, that we remember that at the heart of Christmas and the celebration of Christmas is the birth of Christ and the hope and the salvation that that brings with it. Christmas is a time very often of that joy, but we also know that it gives a time for reflection. As we draw towards the end of the year, we look back and we remember the friends that have gone or those who are unwell. No matter what sector you're from, should that be in the school community or in the civic or faith or political world, or even in our own lives, we know that we are very often buffeted by the storms of life, that life is not always very easy, and we have undoubtedly all of us experienced challenges in the year gone past. But it is also a timely reminder, I think, to all of us that as we look to the hope and the optimism of the new year coming in after this time of celebration, we just simply don't know what that year will bring. And I think that's why it is so important to join with friends and family and have those celebrations when we can. And I love getting out and attending community events and seeing all of that effort and volunteer time and, you know, so many activities across this wonderful constituency. And it can only happen because of that dedication, the compassion and the passion of so many volunteers, of churches and organisations, of schools, of parents, of sports clubs right throughout. So it is a time of the year to be really thankful, and I am thankful. Thankful to be here to join with you today. But thank you, thankful too, for all of the opportunities that I see, and optimistic and hopeful for the year ahead, recognising that there will always be challenges, but I think by working together and with, at the very heart of that, that comfort of the faith in Christ, that we will endure and we'll get through and hopefully thrive in the year ahead. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deputy First Minister. And we take this opportunity of wishing you and your colleagues well in facing those challenges in the year to come and beyond. Thank you. There are light refreshments in the parochial hall immediately following this service. I do hope you, those of you who can at all, will go across and extend the fellowship a little bit more in less formal surroundings. The Deputy First Minister is coming across, and it might be your opportunity to meet her and others as well. Just in terms of the school's presence, it's good to have Mr. Smith and Mrs. McHugh with us this afternoon, principal and vice principal. And if you think maybe I omitted to ask the chairman of the Board of Governors of the school to read this afternoon, well, he did read. I'm doing my best to fulfill that role over the next 3 to 4 years. But I was delighted to see my immediate predecessor as chair, John Harshaw, in the congregation. Throughout his term, he was always very supportive of events here in the Glebe, and although he's now out of office, it's lovely that he is still maintaining that interest and joining us. I'll take the opportunity of saying grace now before we go over to the hall so that the refreshments can be served smoothly and efficiently. Bless, O Lord, this food to our use and us in your service. Make us mindful of the needs of all who are in want, and bless our fellowship and friendship together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us bless the Lord.
Amen.